Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 283 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we react to Nebraska's 100th anniversary victory over Northwestern. We also talk about our upcoming game against Purdue.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at HuskerPod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Ruddy with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is? Reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356.
How about that volleyball team?
Yeah, they're good at that sport.
Please tell me you actually watched it.
I unfortunately had work.
Ugh.
So I caught approximately 3 seconds of it when I was
leaving
go to work. It was towards early. The very beginning of the game, yeah.
Man, that was awesome. We watched the whole thing.
Okay, I need you to explain something to me because I did not watch it. Everybody keeps posting this photograph of a woman on Twitter, and it all has the caption of, "This is when I knew." What are they talking about? Was there like a contested in the game or something?
We were up 14-13 in the fifth set, and you know you have to win first of 15, you have to win by two. And we had just overshot it, and so it was tied 14-14. And then apparently a couple of the players said to Coach Cook, "Hey, I think the net was shaking, and our team didn't bump it, and the ball didn't bump it. We think they hit the net," which is a net violation, which would be a point for us. So instead of being 14-14, it would have been 15-13.
Okay.
And so Cook challenged it, and so the ref went to review it. And while the ref's reviewing it, they're showing replays in the stadium or in the arena, and we're watching it at home. It's like, oh my gosh, they touched the net. We hit the point.
Sure, yeah.
And so then we all realized it. And so then I guess once the ref makes the decision, he comes over and tells the people at like the side like to make the change in the official stats or something.
Okay.
And so that was probably when I was watching it. I'm like, because I think at that point we all knew like, oh my gosh, we're going to win on this technicality. It's not a technicality. It's a rule, you know, like fair catch, you know.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
And so I was just thinking to her, like watching her face thinking, let's be professional here. But I think her eyes did get a little bit wide because everybody knew what it meant. So then we won the game.
Okay. Well, hey, maybe lateral move here since you brought it up. The right call was made at the Iowa game, folks.
You can say that, but you would probably also be really mad if it happened to you. Yeah.
Well, there's precedent for it. Same thing happened to Wisconsin a few years back. So, I mean, if that's the rule, just because nobody makes that call doesn't mean that that's not the right call to make.
Yeah, and then, of course, the wild thing was that they didn't call it initially. It was only when they reviewed
it,
and apparently that's a reviewable thing. They went to see if he stepped out of bounds. And so this was the annual week when my college buddies come out, brought the families this time, and two of them, we were walking through the stadium after the game, just kind of taking our time. The others had to head back, and we finally were deciding to leave and heading back towards our car, walking through one of the parking lots where people were tailgating, and you could see Minnesota holding up Floyd. I was like, oh my gosh, they won. And the guy, this older man, was like, yeah, but did you see what happened to Iowa? I'm like, no. So he explained it. And it wasn't for several hours until I actually saw the actual play, but
right,
man, that's the story, right?
I mean, there. you got to feel awful for Iowa, but let me tell you this. Actually, I have a story that kind of tracks with this story. I have a personal experience. On Friday night, I was heading to my final show of the season at Vala's, played my final show out in the Pie Barn. But I wanted to get into the left turning lane, but there was a huge line of cars wanting to go straight. So there was plenty of space in the left turn lane. Okay. But in order to get to that lane, I would have had to cross the double lines and drive all the way up on the side, which is technically illegal, right?
Technically.
Yeah. So I was about ready to do it, but I noticed a state patrol car about halfway up the line. Oh. So I was starting to like list towards the left, and I just course corrected, got back in line. About a minute later, somebody came up and they blew past everybody on the left. And then when we finally got a green light and everybody was able to turn and everything, State Patrol pulled that person over. That could have been me, right?
Wow. So
just because, well, nobody ever makes that call and that's ridiculous. If it's in the books and you get caught, you really can't complain about it, can you?
But for the grace of God go you.
Nah, that was just me paying attention, and I readily accept that if I were not paying attention, it would have been my own fault and my own stupidity, right? Like, it's one of those things where when it comes to traffic law, sometimes there's a gray area, right? But if you get caught, I mean, it's like jaywalking, right? Technically illegal. Everybody does it. If you get caught,
I've heard they enforce it in Iowa City.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't remember. I think maybe it was like when I was in law school and I was clerking somewhere over the summer, and there was someone from University of Iowa Law School, and she said that you can get ticketed for jaywalking in Iowa City.
Maybe it's like a college town thing too, because I used to take my students down to a conference every 3 years. That was at the University of Tennessee, and that was a big thing that they always told people is like, make sure you don't jaywalk because you will get ticketed. So like, there's all these like high school kids that are just terrified of crossing the street the wrong way.
Now, what if you never carried your ID with you? Like, how would they enforce that? How'd they pin that to you?
I don't know. Maybe
walk you back to your house. Like, how do they know who you are when they
That's
give you a ticket?
Question.
They take your shoes or something until you pay it, or
they probably take you in and fingerprint you. They have a record of it.
Yes, officer. My name is Mike Harvath. I'm so sorry. How much can I pay you right now?
Oh, man. Now you're bringing me back to the time that I put a fake name down on my ticket that I got at UNO for parking in the wrong place after I was a student. I was like, You guys don't know who I am.
Did they?
No, they didn't know who I was. No, I was fine. Because it was UNO parking enforcement. It wasn't like a cop. It was like, go to the office. I'm like, I don't go to school here. You can't make me.
You're so bad, Mike.
Anyway, we should talk about, we're really plumbing the depths of Mike's iniquity right here.
Also, the Nebraska soccer team today, Sunday, at least tied for a Big Ten regular season championship.
Oh, cool.
Did you know that? Did you know they were that good?
I had no clue.
We have one of, if not the leading scorer in the country. Dale is her last name. I can't think of her first name right now.
Yeah, if you had asked me, I would not have told you that I was even aware that the season was this fall.
I think it's Eleanor. Yeah, Eleanor Dale. Okay, no, yeah, you're right. Let's talk about football.
So, I just want to say, Justin, I called my shot. One down, four to go, my man.
Four to go?
We're going to win out now. I changed my mind. We're going to win every game.
Five to go?
I don't know how many it is.
Five. We're now 4-3.
Sure. Yes. Right.
Okay. It could happen. I looked up some SP Plus. What's his name's posting the complete rankings of all Division 1, 2, and 3 teams. So there's 300 and plus teams on the list.
Oh, wow.
And we actually rank higher than the two teams that beat us to start the season, Minnesota and Colorado. And Northwestern is one of the worst teams in Division One, and then Purdue is also pretty bad. Michigan State's not quite as terrible, although after getting beat 42-0, maybe they are. So anyway, yeah, I mean, the path is there. Iowa looks real beatable. The question's going to be, at the rate that we're losing key contributors, will we have enough guys to play the game?
Yeah.
By the last game.
That's a valid question.
That was nuts to see not one but two guys down, like crucial guys.
Uh-huh.
Man, that sucked. And it's Sunday night. We still don't know how they're doing after the game. Rule said Billy Kemp got to come or stay on the sideline, which is a good sign that he'll be maybe okay eventually. But Ethan Piper, like, they had to have, I don't know if they showed it on TV, they had to have football, like, offensive linemen come out to carry him off.
Oh, wow.
Just like he draped his arms around their shoulders.
Okay,
like,
yeah. I think they were at a commercial when that happened on TV.
Yeah,
they talked about
it. They motioned to the sidelines, and yeah, they came out, and so that's not good.
Yeah.
Also, this is fun. I sat next to Teddy Prochaska's brother.
Oh.
I don't know if he's got multiple brothers or what, but so that was kind of a fun perspective to hear his comments through the game. He's rooting for his brother. Also, as a quick aside, I'm all over the place. There was some conversation on Twitter this week about during, is it March Grandioso? Da, 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 da. That song?
Oh, the song where people used to sing Bo Pelini over the top.
Yeah, yeah. So somebody was asking on Twitter this week if people still did that. Well, I just so happened to walk down the aisle between where the band normally sits and the student section. The band was on the field playing that song, and I sang it. And one of the marching band professors looked up at me and said, "Oh, you're old." But I did see, I did see a couple students singing it.
Okay.
So it's not dead yet. A few of us are carrying the torch.
All right.
For Bo Pelini. Bo Pelini.
You know what the funny thing is about that?
Hmm.
Pelini became coach after we had both graduated from college.
That's true.
Yet we know it, you know? So that's there's people true. Younger. There's got to be plenty of people younger than us who know it. So
the youths.
We're not that old.
The youths are not that old. I know. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. No, that's
Oh, you're
that's
old.
Good. Yeah, there's probably all kinds of traditions that we're totally unaware of. So
things, well, and things that come and go through the years.
Yeah. I do remember being confused when the student section held up that big banner of DJ Khaled. Yeah. That's when I was like, what the?
I'm still a little confused by it.
What on earth?
I couldn't tell you why they picked him. Do you remember why? I don't remember why.
No, you know what? I was just thinking about this today about, like, there's no stupid trend with high school kids right now. Like, I feel like maybe like COVID like finally washed that out of our culture's system. No, because I think it was post COVID when the kids were like stealing sinks out of bathrooms and stuff. But like, there's no dumb Tide Pod like trend or anything right now that I'm aware of. Like, what are kids doing? The last thing I heard is like kids are finally like figuring out that they should leave their phone at home sometimes and just go for a walk. That's about like, yeah. So like today's youth are finally making like healthy decisions because the rest of the world is going nuts and they want to make the world better. So good for them.
Good for the kids these days.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, man, the game started so ugly.
Oh yeah.
Let me see if I can find it real quick. I took a picture of the scoreboard at one point. I haven't tweeted it yet because I couldn't connect to the internet pretty much the whole time. And then, of course, it died.
Did you see that one of our friends on Twitter tweeted their charger at you?
I did see that. And that was, I hadn't tweeted anything. But yeah, Sarah, I saw it. So with 6 minutes and 4 seconds to go in the first quarter, we were down 3-0 and Northwestern had -9 rushing yards and 3 passing yards for a net -6. And we had 5 rushing yards and -3 passing yards for a net +2.
That's ridiculous.
Ugly.
But you know what? In that first quarter, I'm going to be honest. I was filled with doubt and trepidation when Tristan Alvano lined up for that 47-yard field goal that he nailed.
Into the wind, wasn't it?
Into the wind. Yeah. I didn't believe for a second that he was going to hit it. So good on him, and good on for the coaching staff for having confidence in him, because he's making me a believer.
Yeah, you know, I heard after the game Rhule was asked something about, like, how is it that you feel you've grown so much as a team? And he said, well, probably because we lost early. Like, they've struggled and have, you know, embraced the suck, so to speak, and are coming out the other side now. And it helps that the Big Ten West is terrible. But yeah, there's growth, and we're winning one score games where, well, there's two or three big plays by Northwestern where we, two of them where we ran the guy down.
Yeah,
from behind.
Yeah. They were like blowing a play wide open, and you know, it's the kind of play that somebody might be tempted to give up on, but our guys, mm-hmm. they went after him for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing that maybe I don't want to say nobody would have run a guy down last year, but something happened last year and the year before that we lost.
Yeah, I mean, it really made a huge deal, because at least one of those big plays ended up being just a field goal from them. So, well, like,
I think two of them.
Yeah, I forget the second one, but I know for sure the first one turned into a field goal instead of potentially a touchdown. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, they had the one where was it Omar? I can't remember his last name. Ran him down. And then another one in the, like, on the hash mark, and another one where they ran the guy down on like the 5-yard line, and yeah. For both of them, we held him to a field goal. So yeah, in a game where you win by 8, which is of course a touchdown and an extra a 2-point conversion. I mean, every stop counts, because that offense was not moving the ball.
That reminds me of, at some point early in the game, I think it was 6-3 at the time, somebody tweeted out a picture of our score and a couple other teams' scores, and it was a bunch of Big Ten West teams, and one of the games had a touchdown, and the rest of them were all field goals. And somebody was like, "That's not very Big Ten West of you."
That's funny. I think we'll miss the Big Ten West,
dude. I miss Legends and Leaders.
Those were the days.
I'm kidding. I don't miss Legends and Leaders. I thought that was stupid from the beginning. I thought it was like them just saying, like, here's all the old farts and the new kids, you know? Like, here's all the old people, all the legacy programs that we, you know, we pat them on the head and say, sure, Grandpa, whatever. You had your glory days, but the Leaders, they're the ones in charge now.
Mm.
But anyway.
So
what's
the game...
it going to be next year? It's going to just be like...
I don't have they might not have said how it's going to be.
Maybe
they
different districts like in the Hunger Games.
They've got our opponents out, not necessarily, and where, which are home and which are away, not necessarily the dates. But I don't know if they have.
Yeah, we don't
I
know
think it might,
which division it's gonna
I think
be.
It, I don't know if there will be divisions.
Yeah.
I don't think there will be.
So what would it be? Just like the two teams with the best record are going to tee off for the championship?
Yeah, I think so.
What if you have a team that's like ridiculously out ahead of everybody else?
Then they're I don't understand the question.
Like, if you have a team that's so far out ahead of everybody else, and maybe they've already beaten the second place team.
Uh-huh.
Like, are you still going to have a championship game?
This, like, was Tom Osborne's argument against having a Big 12 championship game, is that you're just giving a good team another opportunity to lose.
Yeah, yeah.
When they have, like, nothing to gain other than not to lose, mm-hmm. whereas you have, like, an upstart 6-6 team. You know, like the year when we were, what were we, 9-3, and Wisconsin got slipped into the conference championship game because Ohio State was suspended, or, you know, and then they pounded the crap out of us.
There were some fun highlights in that game, at least, that we can all share gifs of still.
Yeah, and some gifs too.
Don't bring peanut butter into this.
Not I'm talking about graphic interface stuff.
Justin, I thought you of all people would accept that language is fluid and the culture
we've
can
talked about
dictate
this.
whether or not something is pronounced a certain way.
And just because the original
speaker said it one way doesn't mean that we say it that way anymore, even or even that it's accepted or correct.
You uncultured Philistine.
Oh, boy.
Have you looked at Harburg's stats?
Oh, I don't know if I want to.
What do you think? What do you think his passing completion rate was?
Oh gosh, 40%.
I'm looking it up. I don't know if it'll have a percentage. What if you had to guess completions versus attempts?
Oh, I don't know. Tell me.
8 of 17 with 2 interceptions and 1 touchdown.
8 of 17. Well, that's just under 50% then, right?
For 85 total yards.
Oh gosh.
More than half of it came on the touchdown pass to Malachi Coleman.
Well, Justin, I want to tell you, since you didn't have your phone handy for much of the game, I will tell you that plenty of tweets were coming through starting in the third quarter saying, just put Sims in already. So,
tweets from you?
No, not from me. Just in general, people were saying, put Sims in. And, you know, I get the argument for it. I also get why Rule maybe decided to leave Harburg in. I guess his thought was like, hey, give this guy a hard-fought win where, you know, you got to stick it out. But, like, oof. I wouldn't mind a little back and forth between our quarterbacks, but...
The part of the problem is there's just nobody left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Anthony Grant is about the only game one starter. Was he the starter the first game?
No, yeah, he was.
I don't know. Wasn't it Gabe Irvin?
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
You look at the rushers from this week. Emmett Johnson, leading rusher. I think he was the fourth stringer to start the season. Then you have Heinrich. He was the backup to start the season. Then you have Anthony Grant, who was, I think, the second or third string running back. And then Josh Fleeks, who I don't even know if he was listed on the depth chart. Those were your running backs, or those are your ball carriers. And you look at receptions, Fedoni, 7 targets, 3 catches, and he had slippery hands. I don't know what his deal was. He needed some stick-em from Little Giants because he dropped. You know what I should say? Of those 9 incompletions, I'd say 4, off the top of my head, 4 or 5 were in their hands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's not all on Heine, Double H. But look, I mean, look at the guys who had catches after Fedoni. Malachi Coleman, true freshman. Alex Bullock, walk-on, right? Nate Borkacher, walk-on, I think. Jaden Doss, if I paid more attention, I could tell you more about him, but I can't right now. Billy Kemp, transfer, and now he's hurt. And Janarian Bonner, was he the fullback? Transfer? I don't remember what he is. But, like, I don't even know who these people are.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I feel like maybe I should on some of them. And, 2021 Justin or 2020 Justin might, but...
Justin, the Justin who had the 3x5 note card and came prepared for the breakdowns of these statistics.
The Justin past. Who had not yet been broken by Scott Frost.
Or I was about to say the Justin who did not have like a whole slew of children, but.
I mean, I don't want to blame the kids too much. It's just, there's a lot.
No, I'm not blaming the kids. That's just kind of a reality of your life.
Yeah, no, there's just a lot. Priority shift, you know? Yeah.
Well, New, I was thinking about this the other day. Did you have children when we started this podcast?
Oh, yeah. I think we've talked about that. We had our oldest. We were driving out to Colorado, and I sat in the back seat next to her.
Aww.
And we recorded our pilot.
That's so cute.
So, yeah. But, yeah, now we have more. But also, you know, I'm closing in on 40 and got more responsibilities of work and in the community, and the kids are getting older and they do need more.
You know, I thought it was funny, Justin. Sorry, not to interrupt you, but I got on Reddit for the first time a couple weeks ago, and there was a comment on, I had posted our like season preview or whatever. And somebody's like, this is good, but like, why don't you guys post episodes more often? And I like, I explained to him, like, hey, man, we used to do so much during the off season. It was ridiculous. And we're giving ourselves permission to just enjoy this thing and have a conversation just like friends do after a game, right? But I had to laugh about it because this guy, he had left that comment like a whole month prior and I hadn't seen it until I was like, yeah, that's oops, funny. Yep, that's how often I'm checking this stuff anymore. But I mean, it also doesn't help that my favorite Reddit app got essentially destroyed by some changes at Reddit this summer. So I don't really use Reddit that much anymore. So
wow, they that's too bad.
Yeah, Reddit started doing that thing where they charge for a certain number of API requests.
The API stuff, yeah.
So
another thing I would point to is what was it? Oh, that's my train of thought. just also trying to think about what it means to be a football fan and trying to pass it on to your kids. And in some ways, when I was really deeply into the details, I think I was more like looking at my phone during the games and also was more upset when we did poorly. So it's almost like I care about this enough that it's maybe counterproductive to the well-being of my family to care too much.
Yeah, I hear that.
I don't know if anybody else has a similar perspective. I'd be curious to hear.
Yeah, even as a fan, psychologically, like, you got to remember that we're also a couple of dudes who have been podcasting through more losses than wins. I mean, that's just the reality of what we've had to endure as podcast hosts, right?
Here's the funny thing. It took me quite a while to remember how the circumstances of last year's Northwestern game. I don't know if it's because it was in a different country, but people kept talking about last year's game. I was like, what?
What even was it? Yeah.
I was trying to picture like at Ryan Field or at Memorial Stadium. I just couldn't picture any of the key plays. I was like, what? I mean, the fact that Scott Frost was a coach at the beginning of last season feels like a million years ago. It feels like ancient history.
All I remember
feels like Bo Pelini was a coach more recently than Scott Frost.
The only thing I actually remember from that game was a photo or something went viral where they were like just giving out beer, right? Because like I think their like point of sale system went out,
failed, yeah.
And so like
so there they just was, gave it all away.
Yeah, people had this giant stack of cups that they were doing from like one level in the seating to another. Like so that's what I actually remember from that game. Like I think there's a good chance that both you and I have actually blocked out that game because there was so much riding on that game. There was, I mean, Scott Frost's career essentially depended on that game.
But you know, that exactly speaks to how Rule is different because he has been adamant. And I think we talked about this 2 weeks ago when we did our last episode. He has been adamant that it's about one play at a time, one game at a time. And he's said, like, the problem with this team in the past is they're too focused on the big picture and what's going to happen, and you have a chance to win the conference. Like, no, just focus on what you're doing in the moment and don't get distracted by what's coming. And I think Scott, just especially in his the last couple of years here at Nebraska, was just, I think he was overwhelmed by what was kind of becoming inevitable.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You know, it kind of seems like he quit a little bit. But once I remembered that game, I also remembered that was the only game that Northwestern won last year. So was somebody excited about the opportunity to fire their coach? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe they were.
Yeah.
Just wild.
Man, like, I think I've said this before, but like, I genuinely would love someday to get like an honest interview with Scott Frost, you know, like give it 10, 20 years, just somebody sit down and have a conversation with him about like, tell me what happened, you know, like,
yeah,
because in the time he was our coach, we knew nothing about the guy. Compare how Nebraska, like, Cornhusker fans, how they relate to and feel like they know Coach Rhule after he has not even been here for a season.
Yeah.
Compared to what kind of a coach or what kind of a human being Scott Frost was in his entire tenure at Nebraska.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess he kind of like set that expectation very early, but still like.
Yeah. You think back, it feels like Rhule maybe has this combination of traits that our previous coaches have had, but not all at once. Like, maybe Riley had the demeanor, but not the command of his program. And maybe Bo had the intensity, but not the self-control. And Callahan had the big picture maybe, but I don't know, not the ability to have the right coordinators. And so this is probably how we sell ourselves on what we've got now.
So Rhule's like he's got the Infinity Gauntlet, and he has each of the previous coaches' stones.
It just does feel like he has this global vision for which you have to have in this crazy era of college football, of semi-pro football. We haven't really talked about the game very much.
Well, I mean, what is there to talk about? You want to talk about the third quarter?
Bushini.
What was your favorite scoring play of the third quarter, Justin?
special teams were special today. Yesterday.
Yeah.
They were a plus for us. They weren't a negative. They weren't neutral. They were a plus.
Mm-hmm.
Bushini was awesome, including his 55-yarder into the wind that flipped the field. He punted 7 times for an average of 41, which Rhule says he doesn't look at averages. I think he's right to say that. Inside the 20, 4 of them. So more than half of his punts went inside the 20. If you think about the fact that we spent much of the first half on our side of the field, it's kind of hard to punt to the past the 20 when you're behind your own 20.
Right.
So, yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And Tristan Alvano hit that 47-yarder into the wind. And Tristan Alvano had 3 kickoffs with 1 touchback. Bushini had 1 kickoff, 59 yards, it looks like. And I don't think they had any amazing returns to speak of. Long snappers are getting it done.
Yeah.
I mean, special teams were kind of playing, I hate to say it, it's kind of a, it's what we used to call Beamer ball, but with Virginia Tech, but I guess in this day and age, more people associate with Iowa just because of how historically bad their offense is, but pretty good their defense and special teams are. We're doing that.
Yeah.
It's working. And it could work for a couple more games because Purdue and Michigan State are both pretty bad, but they're not as bad as Northwestern, and our offense is incredibly hobbled.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what it takes to win. The drops, which I think we can say it was drops, is almost as much as bad passes.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to go away. I mean, when you're passing just a few times because you're mostly a running team and you're actually not having a lot of possessions, like you gotta catch the ball.
Yeah.
Son.
Well, with that in mind, do you wanna pivot to Purdue?
Have we exhausted the Northwestern? Yeah, let's
pivot. I mean, like, honestly, I was going to say, we could talk about the Malachi Coleman touchdown.
Pretty awesome.
We haven't touched on that. No pun intended. Touched up the touchdown, the Malachi Coleman. Did you see his little picture he tweeted out?
I don't know. What was it?
Somebody just photoshopped it so that his eyes looked like they were glowing. That was pretty funny.
No, I didn't see that.
It was goofy. Yeah. I'm sure one of his friends sent it to him and he just tweeted it out, but it's great. 1 reception, 44 yards, 1 touchdown.
That's all it takes.
Yep.
Did you watch other games?
No. Like, yes. I said, I had to work, so.
Well, I didn't know if maybe you did earlier in the day.
No, earlier in the day I had to run some errands, so yeah. It was the one game I got to watch yesterday.
Well, it's the one that counts.
Indeed.
So Purdue, I think we maybe established earlier that in the season that we're playing almost exclusively against interim or first year coaches the remainder of the season, except for Kirk Ferentz. Purdue is one of those. You got a first year coach replacing Jeff Brohm, who went back to Louisville, where he's from. They are sitting at 2-5, fifth in the Big Ten West. We are, I think, tied for first and control our own destiny.
That's crazy.
Which is awesome. We're at 2-2 in the conference, and Iowa is 3-2, and of course we play them, and Wisconsin's 3-1, and we play them. Minnesota is 2-2 as well, so we need to probably root for them to lose. Ooh, are we going to do rooting interest? I feel like for 9 years I've wanted to have a rooting interest segment. And we've
we can maybe start it once.
So yeah, we have the two of the three teams ahead of us we play. One of the teams ahead of us we lost to, and so we need to see them lose more. Minnesota, they need to lose more. But that's exciting.
Now you got me curious about who's Minnesota's playing for the rest of the season here. Let's see.
You look that up. I'm going to walk through the teams that Purdue has played.
Oh, they're playing Ohio State.
Playing
Wisconsin, but then they got Illinois and Purdue and Michigan State. So,
but I mean, if we can win out, I feel like I'm talking out both sides of my mouth. On one hand, I'm like, we need two more wins to get to a bowl. Can we do it? And on the other hand, I'm like, we could win the conference. We could win the division.
That's the nature of being a fan, Justin.
Both things are true. Okay, so Purdue started out with the season opening loss to Fresno State, 39-35. They beat Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech, 24-17. I haven't followed Virginia Tech, but I don't know that they're doing well. Then they lost to Syracuse, 35-20. They lost to Wisconsin, 38-17. They beat Illinois 44-19. That was surprising. Mm-hmm. That was surprising then, and it's still kind of surprising as Illinois continues to have some success. I guess they ended up losing to Wisconsin yesterday. Then they lost to Iowa in a close one, 28-14. And then they got pounded by Ohio State 41-7 a week ago. So they're on a bye week right now, which is good for them. So, I mean,
I don't know. Look at the way we played coming out from a bye week. Felt like it took us an entire like 20 minutes to find our bearings. So,
right. Their passing leader, Hudson Card, their quarterback, 1,617 yards, 7 touchdowns. Devin Maccabee, number 45, is their leading rusher with 478 yards and 4 touchdowns on 105 carries. And Deion Burks is their leading wide receiver with 27 receptions and 5 touchdowns for 418 yards. They're tied for 64th in the country with most passing yards with 232. Rush yards, not a big rushing team, 138th. That's 138 yards, rather. It's 91st in the country. They have scored 23 points per game, which is tied for 102nd, and they have allowed 29.9, let's call it 30 points per game, so that's tied for 100th. So their average score is 23-30, a loss. So this could be a low scoring game again. This is not your Jeff Brohm team of old. Defense is decent. Do you have the percentage chance there?
Oh yeah, I was looking at it earlier. I can pull it right back up here. I know it's kind of a 50-50 type thing. Here we go.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so we are favored to win, my dude.
By how much?
52% to 48. So,
okay.
I guess the statistics are looking at this one as a coin flip.
Yeah. Game time weather, 42 degrees. That's chilly.
Oh, what did the coin flip predict for this game?
Oh, do I still have that within reach? I do. I have it stashed, and it's good that I always record in the same place. You had it picked as a loss. I had it picked as a win, and the coin flip called it a loss.
Oh, the coin. Well, we already established that the coin.
We were actually, at this point in the season, according to the coin, we were undefeated.
Undefeated, and then Purdue was the first loss?
We were undefeated, and we only win one more game, according to the coin. I had us going, beating Purdue, losing to Michigan State, losing to Maryland, losing to Wisconsin, beating Iowa. I could see that happening. Mm-hmm. You have us losing to Purdue, beating Michigan State, beating Maryland, losing to Wisconsin, beating Iowa. That could also happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Both predictions get us into a bowl, Justin.
Oh, I didn't do the math on that. Is that
don't
true?
They?
Me, because we need two more wins. Yeah. I have two more wins, and you have three more wins.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. We got to go to a bowl, Mike.
It would be so, like, it would be, it's overdue. It is so overdue.
Yeah.
I can't believe, like, that first year under Riley when we got to go to a bowl just under, on a technicality because mm-hmm. of, like, the academic performance of the previous mm-hmm. year.
Because there were so few eligible teams, like, yeah.
I remember we were like, this is, there were so many fans who were like, this is stupid. We shouldn't have gone. And, like, I would so take that right now. Like without even blinking an eye or batting an eye, I don't know, whatever. I would not think twice about saying, yes, absolutely, get us into a bowl game if we didn't otherwise qualify. mm. I just feel like the yeah. fan base needs it.
We need it. We can earn it. We should earn it.
Yeah, it would be very sweet.
Let's
if
go
we
do
could
it,
earn
Mike.
It. Yeah.
Let's go do it.
We got to support our boys. Our boys in red.
Yeah. I don't really have anything else to say. Let's win the game. I'm excited. I mean, lots of energy after that volleyball game. It was a great, it's been a great weekend to be a Husker. Nebraska has back-to-back wins. Did we win three in a row? No.
No, yes. We've won two in a row.
Two in a row. We haven't yep. won three in a row for quite a while.
Yeah. Well, Justin, before we wrap things up entirely here, I mean, I guess the football discussion can come to an end. I hope we win. I believe that we will win.
I believe that we
I
will
knew
win.
You were going to do that the second those words came out of my mouth. I'm going to ask you this. What's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, man.
Or do you like scary movies to begin with?
I'm not a big fan of scary movies, especially okay. as I've had kids and you spend like so much time on like them not getting hurt and like wanting children to feel good about themselves mm-hmm. and like well, and pretty squeamish. I really enjoy
like
Get Out.
I like spooky movies, but I don't like violent, gory movies. I'm not like a slasher movie guy.
Yeah, well, or like the torture porn, like Saw or something.
Yeah,
like, no, thank
nope,
you.
Never.
I mean, The Exorcist is cool. Do you have a? How do you feel about spiritual versus hacker slasher versus super suspenseful?
I think I'm more like just right there in the super suspenseful, or if yeah. it's like. I don't know if I would call it spiritual, but more like demons and ghouls and goblins if it's like hokey. Like, I love a good like 80s B horror movie.
I know what your favorite scary movie is.
What's that? No.
It's not Ernest Scared Stupid?
No. I like Ernest Scared Stupid, but like that's not, I don't really consider that one. Here's the thing. A lot of people our age were like traumatized by that movie. I saw it in the theater and I was fine. We were 7 years old when that movie came out and it didn't bother me, but like that's part of the reason that that movie did not do as well is because word of mouth got out among parents that it was too scary for kids. So like parents didn't want to take their kids to go see that one. It's interesting because that film actually does have a legacy amongst horror fans. Horror fans actually really love that movie because in terms of like, I guess it came out in 91, but it's kind of still in that era of like 80s schlocky horror stuff. It is worth seeing purely for Eartha Kitt's performance in that film. The way she riffs off with Jim Varney, like it is, you're watching two masters of their comedic craft.
So I Married an Axe Murderer count as
oh,
a
gross.
Horror movie?
That's a terrible movie.
Michael Myers, not the horror guy, but the SNL comedian?
Yeah.
Really? What's so bad about it?
It was just a rough movie. I didn't like it at all.
Okay. Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I would count that one.
Kind of comedy, but genuine horror.
Well,
I'm just scrolling through my Letterboxd, which is, for those who don't know, it's like Goodreads for movies. Back in 2021, I watched Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh, wow.
I wrote, as an English major, I am both embarrassed that one, I watched this, and two, I liked it.
All right, here's my recommendation, Justin. If you get a chance to watch a movie without your kids around, which may, you know, I acknowledge it may not happen.
I just have to stay up later, yeah.
The Gate. I think it's probably like an 83, 84, 85 movie, somewhere in there, right in the mid-80s. Just...
87.
Okay, 87. It is right in the pocket for me in terms of scary movie. Like,
three young children accidentally release a horde of nasty pint-sized demons from a hole in a suburban backyard. What follows is a classic battle between good and evil as three kids struggle to overcome a nightmarish hell that is literally taking over Earth.
These kids open up a portal to hell in their backyard by playing a heavy metal record backwards. And it sounds ridiculous, but it's one of those movies where, like, it's super hokey, but it also takes itself seriously, and it's got all kinds of, like, cool 80s horror effects. It's got some claymation scenes in it that are really unsettling. Yeah, it's just, it's right in the pocket. There's a lot
of
stuff
that
actually...
Did you know they made a sequel?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that actually Stranger Things borrows from imagery-wise in that movie. So if you're a fan of Stranger Things, it's worth watching to see some of the things that make it into Stranger Things from that show. So there's my recommendation for
you. Just watch the trailer while we're talking here.
I have not seen the sequel, so I can't vouch for the sequel. I want to see it at some point, but it's not easily accessible on streaming, and I don't feel like buying the DVD for $18 from Movie Mars or whatever on Amazon. So,
all right, I've got the trailer queued up here. So, with that, I think we say go big red, and I'm gonna go watch this thing.
Go big red.
Go big red.